This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
Good morning, it's 7:47 right now. Melissa Chuang and Joyce here with you. We're ready to bring you the top business headlines of the day. But we have Tan Chung Han. He's going to be speaking to Dr. Yilmaz Akyus on the Breakfast Grill today. This continues our conversations with economists who were down, who were in town for the Khazanah Megatrend Forum that was held earlier this week. So on Monday, Joseph Stiglitz, then Hajin Chang, and today, Yilmaz Akyus. He is the former Director and Chief Economist of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, or UNCTAD. Now, essentially, he wrote a book called Playing with Fire, and it identified Turkey as the most fragile emerging economy right now. Well, he wrote this book last year, and what we're seeing is this, you know, emerging market crisis. So really wonderful to be talking to him at the moment and to kind of figure out what it is that Malaysia can learn from Turkey's crisis.
Of course, since then, the Turkish liras are crumbling. The Pakistan government sought IMF help in terms of their own currency, which they have also voluntarily devalued. So this whole emerging market contagion seems to be gathering momentum quite distressingly.
Such a timely conversation. I also could ask him, you know, the short-term, long-term challenges for the Malaysian economy, as well as whether Malaysia can overcome the middle income trap.
And it was reported that he, Dr. Akyus, met up with Tun Dr. Mahathir earlier this week, along with Joseph Stiglitz. So I would have given my right arm to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give you a little teaser of perhaps an insight into his thinking on the Breakfast Grill today, Dr. Yilmaz Akyus. Stay tuned for that. That's after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But the MMC Gamuda story is not over. The MRT2 story is not over. We're going to continue that, a look at that. So the cabinet now has decided to reopen negotiations with MMC Gamuda to bridge the more than 2 billion ringgit difference in their cost savings assessment. So MMC Gamuda previously offered to cut 2.13 billion ringgit from the project cost, but the MOF said, look, we want a minimum savings of 4.19 million ringgit. And that was the figure, I believe, that was that came up following an independent engineering consultancy review.
Yeah, so four ministers led by Finance Minister YB Lim Guan Eng will be involved in the renegotiation. So the others include Economic Affairs Minister Dato Sri Mohamed Azbin Ali, also Transport Minister Anthony Lok, and Works Minister Baru Bian. So, well, it'll be interesting to see whether or not something comes out from that. So are we not going through a re-tendering again? They're just going to renegotiate?
Well, it's getting a bit ugly. And of course, the minimum reduction was 4.2. Actually, the independent consultant said the savings could be as high as nearly 5.5 to 6 billion ringgit.
Oh, did they?
Now, of course, Tony Paul yesterday, the special advisor to the finance minister, wrote a letter, an open letter to the consortium. And I think the gist of his letter was essentially that the consortium, MMC Gamuda, was a little bit too opaque in terms of their costing, and they hid behind this whole trade secrets defense in their previous argument.
So the trade secrets is the costing. So
the
what
costing,
goes the
yeah,
IP, what,
exactly,
the intellectual property,
and
what goes into that.
Which then met with a response from the consortium yesterday. Both Gamuda and MSCC released a statement saying that, basically the costs have gone up for two reasons. One, of course, is the fact that the spec has actually increased. For example, the walls of the tunnel are thicker, the entrances are wider, and also the insurance costs have gone up because parts of the Klang Valley are basically stone, okay, and the tunnel boring machines encounter problems digging through the ground, and of course sinkholes might occur as a result. So the insurance costs go up as a result. So they've also defended their appointment, saying that in the past when they were awarded MRT2 in 2016, they were part of an open tender. Five other contractors were also looked at.
Mm-hmm.
They were the only local contractor, and they were also the cheapest contractor, and they were the only local Malaysian contractor. So it's getting a little bit ugly.
It is.
And they also pointed out that of the 20,000 jobs that would be lost, 3,000 would be Malaysians, of which 60% would be Bumiputra.
So it's not all
20,000, correct, the workers
MMC,
in the consortium.
Yeah, okay.
So not all 20,000 are locals. 3,000 are locals, of which 60% are Bumiputra. And then the 17,000 are presumably foreign workers, laborers, yeah? So
okay.
I think the government have got to come up with a middle ground for this, because this kind of sets a template for future awards of
It is a barometer. This is the litmus test, right?
This is how
the MOF deals with this. It's going to be the litmus test of how we're going to deal with not just infrastructure projects in the future, but, you know, the government's talking about they want to be more private sector friendly, how they deal with the sanctity of business contracts. I think all this is really going to set the tone.
Contract sanctity as well.
Well, MSV Gamuda, when they came out with a statement yesterday, they stated that they're going to adopt an open book approach and support the appointment of the international consultancy firm to re-examine where money could be safe. But they emphasised that, you know, the firm chosen needed to have the necessary track record and experience in assessing tunnelling works around the world. That's one. Also, in exchange for an open book approach, MMC Gamuda requested that its IP rights be respected, along with any commercially sensitive information.
Which is also kind of defensible, right? Because you don't want to
let all you know, you've built a track record, you've invested in research, and you've got IP, you've got intellectual property. You don't want to kind of just let it all spill out there. I see the arguments of both sides. What I don't like to see is the public spat. I'm all for transparency. I think it's great that there's more transparency, but I take offense or take issue with the social media campaign, you know, the hashtag save MRT2. The MRT2 is still happening, guys. It's not going to be scrapped.
Yeah, right. So the consortium say they can save 2.2 billion. The government says, look, try and save as much as 6 billion. Hey, just do the Penang thing, lah. Just find a place in between and save 4.5. And then off you go, Bob's your uncle. Just get on with the job.
At the start of the week was the loss of 20,000 jobs, and everybody just latched on that.
I think
it's not 20,000 Malaysian jobs, and you'll still have jobs. And if you're first class honours civil engineer, you got to get a job anywhere in the world, mate, because you're good.
Okay. Right? So I think the lesson of the story is for everyone to calm down.
Yeah. Let's take
it down a notch. Let's calm down. Let's figure out the facts of the issue first before we react emotively to an issue. All right. This story is, of course, going to continue, and we will keep a close eye on this. But we also want to take a look at the flurry or the expected flurry of M&A activities. Now, the investment bankers are saying that they're seeing an influx of queries from foreign firms eyeing for good assets to buy in Malaysia. M&A activity has really quite slowed down in the past couple of years in the lead up to the elections. There was a lot of people who wanted to wait and see what happened. But now it turns out that after the government said that they're also looking to pare down some of their stakes in some companies, we could be seeing more M&A in the market.
Yeah, so promising sectors, what bankers are saying is could be consumer, healthcare, e-commerce and logistics as well. And remember on Tuesday, Finance Minister YB Lim Guan Eng said that, you know, besides taxes, new taxes coming on stream for budget 2019, asset sale will also be another revenue source for the government. And he also said, remember, that the government believes in the notion of the business of the government is not to be in business. So they're looking at the private sector to lead the economy.
Mm. So, of course, the bankers are licking their chops, right?
Because they must be working OT right now.
Sales means transactions. Transactions means commission. Commission means fees.
Yeah.
And fees means also more money in the bank for the bankers. Mm. I mean, Tengku Zafrul was on Bloomberg TV, I think, a couple of days ago. He said that the bond deal pipeline
of CIMB.
Mm-hmm. And they're already on track for the best profit in their history, right? So Zafrul was saying that the bond pipeline is getting fatter and fatter. And then, of course, you had Datuk Kong Swee Lin of the investment bank at CIMB addressing the New Dawn participants at the New Dawn conference yesterday, saying that asset sales are to be welcome. My question is, at what price do you sell and to whom do you sell it?
And who's going to buy it, right?
Who has the deep pockets?
Who has the financial wherewithal?
I mean, San Miguel of the Philippines are licking their chops because obviously there's a lot of strategic assets for sale.
A lot of people licking their chops this morning.
Buyers and bankers. It's the sellers which are sweating because the sellers, i.e. the government and the GLCs, their share prices have dropped to multi-year lows. I mean, Telekom Malaysia's lost 60% year-to-date. Gamuda is, you know, sweating their pants because of all these cancellations. It's not going to be pretty. So at what price you sell and to whom do you sell to?
If you look at who owns what, right, for Glicks, we have Khazanah National. They have 21% stake in Astro. Stock has also fallen quite a bit.
That's right.
27% stake in CIMB. You also have PNB, they have a 58% in UMW, 48% in Maybank. EPF has that 41% in RHB. Remember that? They were supposed to pare that down.
Right. And EPF has never been wanting to own a bank.
They've been trying to pare that down for many years.
I guess the benchmark is the ABA price.
They have ABA as well, and EPF
now. Because ABA, thanks to Joe Lau, bought RHB at a certain price, which is now a lot higher than the current market price.
Okay, well, coming back to what you said, Chuang, about at what price, right, and who's going to buy it. And I think those are really important things to look at because, you know, it's whether we want to go down into this privatization again. There's been a lot of concern. We have a lot of scar tissue, a lot of baggage that we carry from the previous round of privatization under Dr. Mahathir 1.0. Now, whether we want, whether privatization is the right way forward, there's been a lot of comments to disagree with this move in terms of, you know, monetizing assets to raise money for the government. But privatization is never a magic bullet. It's never the solution. Some privatization efforts make sense, others don't, right? So it depends on which assets that you want to sell.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at some of the biggest companies in America, a lot of their shareholdings are very institutionalized. But when you look at those institutional owners, they're actually American fund managers and American pension funds, right? So it's just left hand, right hand for them. It's no different than in Malaysia. So we've got to basically relook at the whole structure and be very, very strategic who we sell to.
Definitely. All right, we have the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Dr. Yilmaz Akyo's former director and chief economist of UNCTAD, or the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.